National Public Radio presents Florida Sand, based on the life and works of Florida's Black Hat troubadour, Will McLean.
Was in the late 20s at the coming of the new. It drowned at 4,000.
Different. Still is. The Florida Black Hat Troubadour, they call him, has a way with words, music, restless, moving all the time, restless to his very heart. He's one to feel things. Maybe too much for his own good. Anyways, how can a man get so tangled up in them old stories that rules his life? Why, to hear him tell about these old Florida crackers, you'd think you was listening to a man testifying about himself.
And he was just sort of a fisherman and hunter and music player. And his music was so strange and ethereal that when he'd sit in his little old cabin and play his homemade instrument, varmints, rabbits, and fox would actually creep up to the edge of where the lamp light shone through the cracks on the ground outside of the house. They actually would crawl up to listen to this man because his music was something that was indescribable, so strange and beautiful.
In September of 1945, Kritzer's Blitzer lifted off the airstrip of the western Pacific island of Tinian and was airborne. Destination, USA. The first act the young man performed upon leaving the airplane was to kneel down and kiss the ground. And now a powerful surge of feeling plumbed the young man to a heretofore unknown depth, and he began to weep uncomprehendingly, but in quietness. And when this had passed, he felt the same way he had as a boy.
Where has he got to now?
You, Will. Come on, son. Come inside.
He felt the same way he had as a boy, standing at the foot of a hill in a sand bed, the warm rain spattering on his bare feet and on the yellow-white sand.
Come on in, Will. Come on home. It's supper time.
He felt cleansed and refreshed, and he heard the call of Florida sand in the wind.
Wherever I wander in summer or winter, the ocean is calling me back to Florida sand, sand, sand. Florida sand, sand, sand. The wind and the ocean are calling me back through the sand, sand. sand, Florida sand.
When I got back in this country from the wars and was discharged in 45, I got myself an old A-model car, this old sedan, and I really had that thing fixed up where I could sleep in it, and I threw in a sack of taters and onions and about 5 gallons of old hog lard and some fish hooks, you know, salt and a tin plate and a cup or something like that, and some coffee, and I took off. And I think I must have dirt daubered all across this state of Florida. And I tell you, I think I hit every pig trail in every county. My goodness.
Oh, Florida, Florida, my fortune river. Oh, it's the love of this man.
It was primitive too. Back in 45, you know, you could still go a lot of places. But what I was doing, my purpose was hunting the sources of these legends and stories that my granddaddy had told me.
We softly sparkled beneath the bright moon. Nightbirds are crying, return to me soon. Oh, Florida, Florida, my heart's your river. For always the love of this man is Florida's sand. Sun-kissed land, oh, Florida sun.
I guess I really did more work in that 2 years or a little more than chasing these things down than I've done since, but it was so much fun, and you know, I was young and foolish and friends with the grape. Once in a while it babbled my tongue, but but we had a good time, me and Mr. Grape, all the way through. It was wonderful.
Acrefoot Johnson toted U.S. mail in the state of Florida over Piney Rough Trail. He strode a pace and no horse could meet, and he won his fame on account of his feet. Oh, he stood a little taller than a tie-tie tree, had legs like a pine in the scrub country, walked 65 miles in the course of a day, 3 times a week for to earn his pay. Well, he rode a little ways in a buggy one time, but then he took the fidgets and he grabbed the line. Hollered, "Whoa now, mister," he said with a frown, "I'm mighty much obliged, but you're slowing me down."
The slow-moving shadows of first dark crossed the clear run and crossed crept into the small place where the man and the boy hunkered beside a smoldering cow dung skeeter fire. They were almost mesmerized by the tiny, vari-colored flames of the burning dung, by the cacophonous music from myriads of chug-chugs, peep-peeps, gronkers, and needeeps, needeeps, by the whirled and gurgling waters, and by the plaintive cry of the phantom "Pour me one" from the distant hammock. Overhead, on the higher branches of the big oak, perched a brace of owls, silhouetted against the sky, bobbing themselves up and down, all the while chortling their eerie cry.
Oh, listen, good people, a story I'll tell of a great swamp in Florida, a place called Tate's Hell. 140 square watery miles with millions of skeeters and big yeller flies. And where all about the moccasins lie, with glittering death in her beady eye, where bull gators beller and panthers squall. Now this is a place to be shunned by all. Old Tate left Sumatra along about dark. He had his two big dogs, a puppy named Spark, an old long-dumb shotgun, a sharp Barlow knife that panther would sure have. The chase of his life. A little past moondown, the dog struck the scent. Through bramble and tie-tie, a running Tate went. For hours and hours, until it was dawn, then Tate knew that he was a long way from home. He blowed through his gun barrel, the dogs did not hear. The panther had killed them. Now Tate felt fear. The sun was not shining, the mist it was thick. Oh Lordy, Tate hollered, I'm lost at the creek. He leaned back to rest and his eyes did not see. The big rattler struck him above the bent knee. The lick was so hard that a sprawling he fell. This was the beginning of Pearl Tate's hell. He opened his Barlow and he grabbed him some moss. A cut he made one way, another across. He wrapped his leg tightly and tied it with string. Then sickness came on him, his body turned green. When Tate was discovered, these words he did tell. My name is Old Tate, boys, I've just been in hell. These few spoken words were the last that he said. His spirit had left him. Old Tate, he was dead. No man can dispute this legend of yore, how Tate lived a full week and in 5 days more, and somehow crawled out close to Caravelle from the deep ghostly swamp that we know as Tate's Hell.
The boy and the man walked away from the sun through virgin woods and over ground that only nature had seeded. They came upon a cattle trail that meandered around the edge of a cedar grove where huge trees towered above grotesque formations of lime rock. The boy shuddered. And the man, observing this, reached out to take the boy's hand.
And if I jumped or something, he was always there to put a hand or finger or a wink or something. And we went everywhere, and he was so patient and so warm. And he knew my thoughts, and I knew pretty much his.
The long hours passed swiftly to the boy, for the man told him innumerable stories about Florida, told how grave danger existed among gallberry bushes, tall as the eye and thick as a canebrake, a place where the wild hog lairs, where man is dareful to go to encounter these wraith-like descendants of the Russian boar, whose tushes gleam white and sticky red with fire in their eyes and slobber running down their chomping jowls.
There's a wild hog in Gough Hammock. I don't wish on any man. My blood knows his hurtful tushes, dark to brown and yellow sand. There he stood, his red eyes burning, slobber running down his jaw. Never seen a sight so fearful, chill me to my very maw. Well, times at night I gets to thinking, and the shivers cold my spine. I walks out into that moonlight, that old hog still on my mind. There's a wild hog in Gough Hammock. I don't wish on any man. My blood knows his hurtful tushes, dark the brown and yellow sand. Dark the brown and yellow sand, a wild hog.
I was, I think, 6 years old. I was sick out on the front porch of my granddaddy's house, and it was cold. The geese were almost running into the top of the house. That's how socked in it was. But anyway, I was feverish, and I heard this passionate calling thing. It sounded to me like that. These things were just calling me, come on, go, 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 go. But anyway, they passed over, and I wanted to go with them. So I made up a little old song called Away O-E, and the O-E was supposed to be the echo to Away.
Away we I'll sing, a lilting song, for my step is light and my heart has wing. Away we I'll sing, away we. Away we I'll love the earth, the sea, the people and our God above. Away we I'll love, away we. When in my final sleep I trust my soul departs into the heavens deep, for I'll have done my best to away we. Away we.
That's where a lot of this started. Apparently, I had some of it was born in me, you know, like some people say, well, it was just natural for him to do things like that. I'm speaking about the love of Florida and trying to tell the Florida story and song primarily. But coming up, you know, from a time of remembrances, my grandfather, he used to bring 25-cent harmonicas old American Aces made by the Horner Company. And they were good harps back in them days, too, for a quarter. And, of course, the bestest one was the old standby, and that cost 50 cents. I only got a couple of those, but I wore out a lot of American Ace harmonicas. And my grandfather was musically inclined. He used to go around. He couldn't sing. In fact, I don't think I ever heard him sing a word. He'd just say, bam, blam, blam, bam, bam, blam, bam, bam.
Where the dark-streamed waters run, almost strangers to the sun, ghostly dancers early morn, paying homage to green corn, Seminole, Seminole. Bitter hatreds they do fade, no more war cries in the glade. Basket weavers you have turned, many a white man's ways you've learned. Seminole, Seminole.
I guess my granddad, he wanted to let me see some of the things that he had seen. So he closed up his lathe for water power. He turned out these beautiful pieces of furniture with the chisel, and just hand chiseled, and his own artistry, his old gnarled beautiful hands. We closed it up, swept it, diverted the water so everything was safe, and locked the shed, and we just took off. We rode the train and to River Junction and started walking down the Apalachicola River.
On the Apalachicola River stood a fort, built by British engineers with cannon in each port. Protection from the slave arrays that caused the exiles dread. Then they left it to the men whose color was red. Black men came from South Carolina and Georgia filled with hope to seek this peaceful haven, no more to wear the yoke. Here the exiles lived and died, from the heart gave thanks for this golden fruitful land along the river's banks.
We went from there through the big scrub, and I learned so much about so many things.
It was in the late 20s that there come a blizzard. It drowned at 4,000 degrees. Withstand that great tidal wave, and the ghosts of the vanished still cry from the grave. Lord, hold back the waters of Lake Okeechobee, for Lake Okeechobee's blue waters. When wild winds are blowing across the Okeechobee, they're calling and seeking for other poor souls. Oh, Lake Okeechobee's blue waters are clear.
The man and the boy took the westbound train out of Jacksonville. Now the man had taken on a sort of restlessness in his manner towards the boy. His conversation to the boy was tormented. He talked about gourd and cornstalk fiddles he had made the boy, how the boy's natural talent came forth on his first mouth harp, of the pleasure the boy brought him through his playing of church songs on his harp, and how they walked through the woods to the little church at Blue Pond, where they would pump the pressure lanterns with their crumbly mantles and clean the globes and light the lanterns for the evening services. The man told how there was no tongue could tell of his love for the boy. The boy's mother and new stepfather were waiting at the depot and watched the grandfather point out the boy's mother.
That's when his heart was broken, pulling into the station there at Chipley. When the train stopped, he took me to the steps and helped me down the steps and pointed over to the people that were waiting for me, and he just walked, turned around, walked back through the coach, out the back end, and just went on out of my life. My soul is a hawk. I am but returned from the place the Indians call land, where the wind is born. Into the quiet and lonely spaces of the upper skies soar I. The beauty of Florida below me as thermal air currents send their song through my wing feathers. And I float in ever-widening circles, yellow eyes piercing in rapture, the blues, the golds, the orange, and faint pinks of sunset. And I see in the far, far distance my haven, the majestic old dead tree on whose limbs I find my soul as a hawk.
Florida Sand, a Folk Festival USA special, was composed by Gamble Rogers from the life and words of Will McLean, Florida's Black Hat Troubadour. Material for this program was recorded by Gamble Rogers and Flawn Williams and by Sherry Craighead of South Carolina Educational Radio. Florida Sand was produced at the Earplay Studios in Madison, Wisconsin by Deborah Lamberton. Project and mix engineer was Flawn Williams, with assistance from John Yule and John Widoff. Our thanks to Carl Schmidt, Deborah Reese, and the Earplay staff, to Charles Stedham of Blade Agency, and to David Rapkin, Ricky Kushner, Cousin Thelma Bolton, David Moltis, the Naval Air Facility of Washington, and the Smithsonian Institution. Executive producer for the Folk Festival USA series is Steve Rapp. Funds for this program were provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR, National Public Radio.